So just to introduce now the part more related to the Sustainable Development Goals and what space can do in order to become a tool for fulfilling the 15 Sustainable Development Goals, I would like to start with a sentence of my boss, Mr. Ban Ki-moon. Satellite technology can help us protect people and the planet, which is one of the, flagship statements related to the Sustainable Development Goals. As you know, last year was September last year in New York, the UN member states in a summit approved the 17 Sustainable Development Goals under the umbrella of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, and the 17 Sustainable Development Goals have been grouped under five pillars: people, prosperity, peace, partnership, and planet. Also, we refer to them in our field, in our environment, as the five P's. So people, prosperity, peace, partnership, and planet. So, which is the path we are designing and following towards sustainable development? We as the United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs. In a way, our activities in enabling and driving socioeconomic sustainable development is mainly through three main avenues. The first one is through our programs, and currently the main programs, as I said, are the UN SPIDER program and the program on space applications. The second one is through our function as the Secretariat of COPUS. And the third one is our on following our, leadership in the UN interagency meeting, so the famous UN space I mentioned before, focusing on promoting wider application of space science and technology for sustainable development. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, but just to give a bit of background, for the purpose of my future, the slides I'm going to introduce in a minute. The Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space has been established by the General Assembly in 59, and the main goal is to be the platform for promoting international cooperation in exploration and use of space, and also being in charge of all the rules and regulations governing exploration and use of space for the benefit of humankind. COPUS has been instrumental in the creation of the five treaties and the five principles of outer space, and also it's important in strengthening the international legal regime. As I said, it's a unique platform at global level to help promoting cooperation in the space field. And it's also supporting efforts at national, regional, and global level in order to maximize the benefits of the use of space science, technology, and applications. Just a brief reference also to the UN space mechanism and the relationship between UN space and space for sustainable development. What we have been doing in the last 2.5 years has been to not only improve the activities under the umbrella of UN space, because as you can imagine, there are a lot of UN entities which are dealing with space, not as part of their mandate, because we are the only one dealing 100% with space activities in the UN system, being part of the Secretariat, by the way. But we have a lot of other UN offices, so Office is part of the Secretariat, plus a certain number of UN specialized agencies which deal with space activities in order to fulfill their mandates. So they have different mandates. I don't know, UNESCO, UNICEF, FAO, WHO, WMO, they have a different mandate, but they use space activities, which means space-based data, space infrastructure, in order to fulfill their mandate. So, as you can imagine from this standpoint, UN space, the UN space mechanism is quite important in the universe called UN. We are really now dealing with this UN Space Secretary General Report 2016-2017 on the UN's system contribution to global space governance in support of Unispace Plus 50. It's under preparation. And this will include a mapping of the UN agencies, or UN entities to be more precise, space-related activities for SDGs. In the past, we have issued the UN Space Secretary General Report on coordination of space activities in the UN system, which gives you exactly the description of what I was mentioning 1 second ago. And we have been also issuing a certain number of special reports, like the one in 2015 on global health, the one on agriculture and food security in 2013, one on climate change, and also in 2009, Space for Africa. Okay, so this is the famous set of icons for the SDGs. And we tried here to depict in a way, give you a quick look of the sustainable development goals to which we contribute in a direct way, and then others to which we contribute in an indirect way. And just to give you an example, I mean, it's far away of being an exhaustive list of activities or topics or priorities or whatever, or initiatives. Here is just a preliminary list of what you can do when linking space technology and its applications to the Sustainable Development Goals. We go from water and food security, to agriculture, desertification, floods, air composition and quality tracking, sea level monitoring, and so on. But what is really important for the time being now for us, so for the UN, for the committee, and for the Office for Outer Space Affairs, is on one side how we link space activities to the Sustainable Development Goals, and on the other side how this process will bring us to what we call Space 2030. Last year, as you know, it was quite a milestone, global milestone, because we got the approval of three independent strategic agendas. The 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, we just talked briefly about that. The Sendai Framework for Disaster Risk Reduction 2015-2030, approved last year in March in Sendai. And the Conference of Parties 21 in Paris last year in December. So just to summarize, we call it the Paris Agreement on Climate Change. All these agreements and all these agendas have a direct impact on the work that we do and on our mandates. And in a certain way, we have to look at them as cross-cutting topics. At the same time, 2015 was also the official kickoff of the strategic process for us towards Unispace Plus 50. Unispace Plus 50 will be a huge global conference. Precisely, it will be a segment of the COPWAS session in June 2018. And on one side, the main goal is to mark the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of the first Unispace conference. But at the same time, we look at the future. We look at what we call for the time being Space 2030, so a vision document for the future of space on a global scale. Don't get scared from this, graph. I'll try to explain what it is. Okay, this is, in a way, our roadmap towards 2030, which means towards Space 2030. It's based, as you can see, on the bottom of this slide, on the five P's I was mentioning before, the five sustainable development goals, the five pillars of the sustainable development goals. So again, people, planet, prosperity, peace, and partnership. On the left-hand side, you have the five cross-cutting areas, which have been approved by COPUS as the foundation of our activities, of our job. The foundation of COPUS, the foundation of UNUSA. Governance, capacity building, resiliency, interoperability, and space for sustainable development. So these are the five cross-cutting areas considered officially by COPUS as our foundation. In the middle, in the center of this slide, you see the seven thematic priorities approved by COPUS back in June this year. And these are the priorities around which we, the Office for Outer Space Affairs, together with member states, have to prepare for Unispace Plus 50. And as you can see, you have global partnership in space exploration and innovation. And this will be led by an action team made by delegations. The second one is legal regime on outer space for global governance, current and future perspective. This will be a working group in the legal subcommittee. Enhanced information exchange on space objects and events, still a working group. International framework for space weather services. This will be led by an expert group already approved last year by COPUS. Strengthen space cooperation for global health, another expert group approved by COPUS last year. International cooperation towards low emission and resilient societies, thematic priority number 6. And capacity building for the 21st century, thematic priority number 7. The preparation will be led by us, by the Office for Outer Space Affairs. But then you see in red the four pillars. Just to give you a bit of, say, some keywords to navigate into this slide, which will allow you to navigate into the process towards Unispace Plus 50. The four pillars are depicting why we do what we do. The thematic priorities depict how we do what we do. And the cross-cutting areas depict what we do, what we do. The four pillars will allow us to deal with member states and with all the other stakeholders in a way that will help governments to put more attention on space activities. And the reason is, and the value of space activities for attaining and for trying to fulfill the Sustainable Development Goals in 2030. Space economy, society accessibility, and diplomacy will allow governments and member states to explain also to the decision makers and to the public why it's so important to spend money and to put attention on space activities. This, everything, will bring to Space 2030, which will become the vision document for the future. Going a little bit more in detail on the thematic priorities, I already mentioned briefly also the mechanisms COPUS decided to use for managing the various activities. The point is that all these activities will bring in 2018 an informed package for decisions to be taken by member states, and then few of them will end their activities in 2018 and others will continue. The mechanism, the technical mechanism, the platform for exchanging views, for involving all the potential stakeholders in the process, is the set of high-level forum that we started already. The first one will take place in November this year, and I'll go a little bit more in detail on that. And just to give you the feeling of what we have in mind, the high-level forum as a platform is a sort of a Davos for Space-like platform. It's nothing related to the World Economic Forum, absolutely. It's the mechanism is similar. The idea is to help, I mean, the main point is that all the stakeholders attending the high-level forum, so also the private sector, the scientific sector, NGOs, IGOs, everyone interested, even the public, journalists, whatever, could help us in drafting and finalizing recommendations for COPUS and for our member states on the potential of space innovations to address new and emerging sustainable development challenges. Sometimes we need to know what the users need. And sometimes even the users, as far as I understand, they don't know exactly their needs because they need to know what they can do with space. And so it's a sort of a circle where we have to improve our way of doing capacity building, and that's the reason why we are putting a lot of attention on the thematic priority number 7, which is the one dealing with capacity building in the 21st century. Because for sure, we need to change the way in which we do capacity building. The last 50 years has been very good. We got a lot of results. The number of countries dealing with space activities are increasing and increasing. Space actors in the commercial sector are also increasing. So we see a positive trend. And that's probably the reason why we have to rethink the way in which we do capacity building in the future. The high-level forum will also help us to understand the cross-sectorial impact of integrating economic, environmental, social, policy, regulatory dimensions, because all the elements is what we call connecting the dots. The more we have experts from different communities talking together and exchanging views, the more we can get the appreciation of what we need to be put into the what I was mentioning is called the vision space 2030. And so in a way, it's for us is an invitation to the space community at large to help us or together with us to address the future of global space governance, leading therefore up to Unispace Plus 50 in 2018. Apart having used a picture from the European Space Agency of a couple of very good friends of mine, I believe this is quite an interesting picture in any case. So let me briefly address the meaning of the four pillars. As I said, the why we do what we do. Space society is focused around raising awareness on the benefits of space technologies and space-based services during decision-making processes and among governments for a sustainable society. What we want to do is also to underline the importance of integrated use of space applications and space technology, because this can be an essential driver for progressing towards a sustainable planet. Space accessibility. We like a lot terms openness and inclusiveness. These are two typical UN words. In this case, they're quite appropriate, I would say. In any case, we define space accessibility, considering that, as I said, our main mandate is to promote the peaceful uses of outer space for humanity. So under this umbrella, it is absolutely needed. What we need is to address issues around coordination and communication among all the potential stakeholders, which is exactly what we are trying to do with the high-level forum. Obviously, there is also a lot of attention in this under this pillar, to the benefit of open space data, policies and practices to provide access to space. And clearly, what we see quite important is also capacity building and education. So the more I talk, the more you see the connections between the 5 cross-cutting areas, the 7 thematic priorities, and the 4 pillars. Quite important, another good friend of mine, no? This is the space diplomacy slide, where you see a standard picture, I would say, of the boardroom in which we manage our meetings of the committee and the 2 subcommittees. And this pillar is created to discuss mechanisms for governance, for the inclusion of emerging space countries, and to increase awareness in the global development diplomacy of the benefits of space tools for the implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And also, in a way, to raise a little bit the awareness of the importance of the Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, because we probably sometimes forget that COPOS is the oldest and the biggest intergovernmental body in the world dealing with space activities. So in a way, I don't want to say it's most important, but it's probably true. Last but not least, space economy. And the main goal, in a way, is to increase awareness on the benefits of space economy for global sustainable development. And also, for sure, what we want to do here is to deal with the full range of activities and use of resources that create and provide value and benefits to human beings using, as I said, space. Just to complicate a little bit more, in this slide you see the connection between the 4 pillars and the 5 P's. So now we have the 5 cross-cutting areas, the 7 thematic priorities, the 4 pillars, and the 5 P's, which is the way in which we summarize, in a way, we group the 17 Sustainable Development Goals. Now, for me, it's simple, because I created the process together with my staff, but I can understand it's not exactly so easy. But you will see that day by day, following the process we are managing towards Unispace Plus 50, how this will bring to space 2030. So, as I said, the clear vision for the future of space and the world. Just to give you a couple of examples, the link between what we do and the Sustainable Development Goals. For example, Sustainable Development Goal number 2, zero hunger. The goal is clear, end hunger, achieve food security and improve nutrition, and promote sustainable agriculture. What we do already is to promote the use of space-based data and information in national efforts to develop sustainable agriculture and advance technological development in the field, and promote the use of remote sensing and other space-based applications for monitoring and planning agricultural production. I also mentioned here a specific document that you can find on our website, unusa.org, where we deal with space for agricultural development and food security. Looking at the thematic priorities, you see that the Sustainable Development Goal number 2 is linked to a certain number of thematic priorities. You see also the cross-cutting areas and the main areas of the 4 pillars. So every topic will be depicted in this way, so that at the very end we will have a full map of what we do in respect of the main references towards governments, towards all the stakeholders, towards our member states, and towards the UN system. Space for global health, exactly the same. Sustainable Development Goal number 3, good health and well-being. I'm not going through, but in any case, you have the presentation, but the approach is the same. Ecosystems and biodiversity, just to change topic, is exactly the same. And what we are doing right now is to map all the current activities, not the future for the time being, but all the current activities in this way. And this would be ready probably in a couple of months. I hope so. I'm just looking at Luc Saint-Pierre. Now, getting close to the end of my presentation. Let me link Unispace Plus 50, the entire process, the potential decisions the member states should take in June 2018, and the Space 2030 vision document. Here the question is that we, on one side, we have to deal with the use of space tools in fulfilling the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. But at the same time, we need to be sure that space-related activities, and in a way the space environment itself, continue to be sustainable in the long term. Just two different concepts. The near environment is fragile, we know, and we have an increasing number of space applications, operations, and also the strategic value of space is increasing. We knew that since when we started working in this field, but now it's becoming more and more evident, which means that we have to enhance what we call the three S: safety, security, and sustainability. Just to mention that before the end of 2013, so I will say from the beginning of 2014, which by the way coincides with my take-up duty, the Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space and the Office of Outer Space, we were never engaged in space security and transparency and confidence building measures related activities. Now, space security, or better, the three S, safety, security, and sustainability, are becoming our day-by-day life, together with a lot of other topics. And for sure, there are other related activities, as I mentioned already, the transparency and confidence building measures, which, by the way, are related to the UN register of the objects launched into outer space that we are maintaining since the beginning, obviously. But also, we are looking seriously at space weather and space traffic management, because it's all part of the same, under the umbrella of the famous 3S. So, we said clearly, I said already a couple of times, that the number of players in the field is increasing and is becoming more and more international. Private companies are becoming a major driver in the space sector. And as you know, in the UN system, we need to develop a little bit better strategy to deal with the private sector. We have already some activities which are covered by commercial entities, and we expect that this will even increase in the future. We see an increasing, in a way, that is the emerging of what we call the space society. So a society, a community, which is based on the use of space activities to improve the quality of life. And therefore, we see that we can better address the socioeconomic benefits of space with governments. So this goes back to the why we do what we do. And that's the reason why we have the four pillars, and we are trying to put together a holistic pictures towards Unispace Plus 50. So, that's my last slide. We believe that Unispace Plus 50 will really be the best opportunity for pulling together the resources, ideas, inputs, whatever, to work together towards Space 2030 in order to address the global space governance in the future of space. We are really pushing a lot in order to have our member states understanding that space is a very good tool for fulfilling the Sustainable Development Goals. We need new norms negotiated under the umbrella of COPWIS in order to assure the benefit of space for future generation. And we do believe that it's the right time to protect space through one joint vision, which is the main goal of Space 2030. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Simonetta, for this very complete presentation of the UNOSA activities and the agenda that you have ahead of you that will make you very busy in the next few months and, yeah. And years. I know that you have some pressing yeah. obligations that call you back to office. Will you have time maybe to take one or two questions from the audience?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to know more or more specific details about the activities of UNOSA, you are now given a unique opportunity for that. Yes, Mr. Batty.
Does UNOSA propose any specific activities in terms of sustainable development goals with specific nations? You know, in any, say, health or climate change. Climate change, you have this recent document. But in any specific projects jointly with one country or multi-country to be done, say, over the next few years in the field for evaluation and impact in the areas of sustainable development goals?
Now, all our activities are done, okay, briefly, because you need a bit of background. We manage our programs through, say, with money, which is coming through different sources. So we have the regular budget activities, mainly dealing with the program on space application, and some other, so capacity building activities are mainly developed under the regular budget. And every activity is done with a host country. And every activity is done with a host country, or more than one host country, depending on the topic. And it's also linked to the interests of the country. We have some countries which have specific interests in certain activities. Other countries which are broader. One of our biggest, because the second way in which we develop projects, for example, the UN SPIDER program, it's a program approved by the General Assembly. Under the regular budget, we pay for the salary of few of our staff, and all the rest is managed through budget, so project budget, which is coming mainly, currently, from two countries, Germany and China. And by the way, they even pay for our two offices, one in Bonn and one in Beijing, under the UN SPIDER program. So this is a very interesting case because we have a program which is approved by the General Assembly. Some budget is used for, some regular budget is used for a certain number of staff, individuals. But all the rest is paid by based on a project approach. This is quite interesting because it depends also on the willingness of member states to cooperate with us. We have countries which have a huge desire in cooperate with us. For example, the biggest contributor right now for us is China, on a project budget. And we have so many entities in China. We are dealing with the Center for Disaster. We are dealing with the Chinese Manned Space Agency. So we have really a broad perspective, country by country. We are dealing a lot, for example, right now with Central America and the Caribbean, Latin America, trying to develop more Africa. We are really, really improving the relationship with the Middle East. So it's a long process, and everything is done in cooperation with member states in different ways. So there is no one single way of doing things.